T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny, live from our Half Street Studios, Southeast DC by Nats Park. Locked in with you until 6:30 this evening. Taking you up to our NBA draft special programming ahead of the Wizards being on the clock at number 10. We're live on 106.7 all over the DMV on our flagship, and we welcome in our Richmond audience now on AM 910 and FM 105.1 in the capital of the Commonwealth. Let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app by visiting BetQL.com. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, is with us. He was writing quite a bit yesterday, like so many folks were who were covering and following the hearings. The House Oversight Committee grilling Roger Goodell wanted to ask questions of Dan Snyder. He was a no-show as expected, but he is going to be subpoenaed for whatever that's worth, and it might not be very much. Let's talk to Mike about that. Mike, thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, doing great, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks, man.
Well, we wanted to get you on because this is your wheelhouse and the expertise with your background on these types of hearings. So let's just start with your takeaways, what you thought of kind of yesterday's proceedings.
Well, it's depressing more than anything else to see how at odds we are as a country, to see how the Democrats are speaking one language and from one planet, and the Republicans are speaking a different language from a different planet. There was so much of that talk about why are we doing this? Why are we here? Why are we using taxpayer money? You know who didn't say that? The commissioner didn't say that. Not that he was in a position to, but the NFL understands that you get scrutiny when you have a broadcast antitrust exemption that allows you to sell the TV rights to your games in bulk and avoids having the league splinter into two or three different leagues, the people who can actually make money off of their TV rights and the teams that just flat out can't. And it's a big deal in America. It's the one thing that pulls millions of people together at the same time. So the whole idea that Congress shouldn't be messing around with this is kind of tired and exhausting, really, because somebody needs to hold the NFL accountable. Somebody needs to ask tough questions. And the idea that, well, times are tough, gas prices are high, whatever. Well, does that mean that people should just get a pass when they've done stuff they shouldn't have done? No. So that part of it was just kind of wearisome for me. But as to the stuff that Goodell said, nothing came out that was unexpected. Nothing was surprising. He does a great job. And this is one of the reasons why he makes $64 million a year. He does a great job of navigating through these situations, even when there's follow-up questions that press him for an answer. He knows how to keep talking without really saying anything. He did a good job of that yesterday. And, the biggest news was they're going to subpoena Daniel Snyder, and we'll see how – well, we won't see in the same way because it won't be televised live. It'll be a deposition. But eventually we'll see the transcript and see whether or not he held up under questioning. Goodell ultimately did.
So, Mike, you think Dan Snyder will eventually have to testify? To me, this was just another case for lawyers to get paid to, you know, keep him out of the country for a while, not get served, and then eventually, you know, try to resist the subpoena, et cetera, and fight it tooth and nail. You think he will have to testify?
I think the harder you fight, the more determined the NFL, not the NFL, but the more determined Congress becomes. They want his testimony. They're going to get his testimony. Now, the clock is ticking. If and when the Republicans take control of the House again, that'll pull the plug on this investigation. So they have basically through the end of the year to try to do something with this. And I take the chairperson of the committee at her word that she's going to subpoena the guy. She's got the power to do it. I don't know what the rules are for serving a subpoena in France. If that's where Snyder continues to be in his super yacht, maybe his stay there will be extended indefinitely. But at some point, he's got to come home. At some point, he's going to be in a position to get served. And I think at some point, he's going to have to come answer some tough questions about the past. It was sad and humorous yesterday, the effort by the management of the team, the upper levels of the team, basically Dan, but also his wife Tanya and team president Jason Wright, that letter they sent to the team employees saying, gee, why don't we get more credit for what's happened over the last 2 years? Why is all this criticism happening? It's making people feel bad about working for the team. Well, look, we got to find out what happened. We don't know what happened. We know things improved because they had to, otherwise they were going to make themselves a team. What happened to get to the point where we now are? And hopefully that transparency will eventually happen for the Commanders and for the NFL.
Yeah, I heard someone mention basically that the team didn't make a statement yesterday about the hearings, and I thought, well, sure they did. The letter that they sent their employees, that Adam Schefter did some great journalism to somehow get his hands on, that's their statement, right? I mean, it came out shortly after those employees got it in their email inbox.
They weren't digging around in anybody's dumpster to get that one. They wanted him to put that out there. They want that out there. Look, that's consistent with the message that they've been trying to push. They've got PR people working for them. They're trying to push that message. Why don't we get more credit for what we've done over the last 2 years? It's not about what you've done over the last 2 years. It's what you did. It's what happened. We still don't know what happened. We still should know what happened. And I think that I don't know how confident I am the NFL is going to change their tune. They're still dug into this goofy idea that the only way you can grant anonymity to current or former employees who cooperated in the investigation is to hide all of the findings and the facts and recommendations. It's just ludicrous. And Jamie Raskin did a great job yesterday of exposing how ludicrous that is, because the NFL, in the Miami Dolphins bullying scandal of nearly a decade ago, specifically found a way to keep people's names out of it. They didn't want their names in it. There's a way to do it, not just brushing it all under the rug. The NFL, for its own purposes, wants this all brushed under the rug and left there.
Yeah, well, wanted to ask you about the redaction differences between that Dolphins report and the Commanders report, where ultimately one of the congresspeople said to Goodell, hey, that's not correct. They asked for anonymity in the Dolphins report as well. It states it here on page whatever. What he has essentially said is he's protecting people that don't want their name out there in the Washington situation. The reason that they had a written report with the Dolphins in 2014 was that those same requests for anonymity weren't made. He also said yesterday that in my business, redactions just don't always work. What's your thought on that?
I just think he's trying to prop up a bogus, ludicrous, disingenuous, and offensive to the average intelligence of the average person position aimed at protecting themselves. They're making it look like they're protecting all these individuals. They are protecting themselves. They don't want this out there. They don't want, whether it sets a precedent that can be used against future owners when there's a disgruntled employee who makes a complaint, and the next thing you know, there's an investigation. The next thing you know, they look under a rock and they find a silver bullet and that owner has to sell, or whether there's other names like John Gruden's that would get implicated in the full range of emails that potentially could be released. They want to hide everything, and they are using this grant of anonymity as a way to justify hiding everything. And it is flat wrong. And at one point, I feel like somebody was making some progress in this regard. And again, Goodell is very skilled at stonewalling while he's engaging in what feels like a normal human interaction. He's very good at avoiding the topic and keeping it from getting drilled down to the bottom line. But why not go back to every employee who was interviewed and who specifically requested anonymity and ask them, is it okay if we simply use a different name for you? We don't know that anyone has said, oh, the only way that I'm going to be protected is if you never publish any of the information that I give you. We don't know if anybody's ever said that. And you know what? If one person said it, then just leave their information out of it altogether, if that's what it comes down to. It's always felt incomplete. It's always felt rushed. It's always felt like we're getting a snow job here, that they're trying to use this idea of we have to protect the employees without really getting to the bottom of, number one, is this the extent of the protection that they wanted? And number two, how many of them actually want this kind of protection? There's a chance none of them do.
Mike Florio with us here from Pro Football Talk, breaking down what we saw yesterday. A giant circus on Capitol Hill, only a few blocks away from where we're broadcasting right now. Mike, so one of the things I thought was interesting, I actually thought this was brilliant by Goodell. It bothered me and insulted my intelligence, speaking of along that stuff, but I thought it was brilliant how he did it. He said, oh, of course we agree. It was really bad. It was really toxic. It was super bad, you guys. Everyone agrees to that, but we punished him. The punishment's already done. And that, of course, makes everyone with half a brain incredulous that, you know, he said, we punished Dan Snyder's been held accountable. Meanwhile, Snyder's attorney, the instant, we had thought last year that he was suspended or at least was going to face a fine, you know, released a statement saying, no, Snyder wasn't fined. Snyder's not suspended. The team is. Snyder can do whatever he wants. He's volunteering to step aside. So we even felt worse about it then. We know he hasn't been punished. That's the whole exercise. That's kind of what you're talking about. But I thought that tactic by Goodell was really good.
Oh, look, I remember July 1 of last year when they announced this, and it was the perfect day to do it. It was a Thursday heading into a four-day 4th of July weekend. They had from Thursday to Tuesday before anybody was going to pay attention. There was the threshold question, is he suspended? Is it voluntary or involuntary? Never a clear answer there because Snyder's people push back on that. Then, when can he come back? Whenever he wants to? Or does he need the commissioner's approval? The Post reported he needs the commissioner's approval. Shefty, dutiful sort of employee of the league that he is, pushes the commissioner, not the commissioner, but Snyder's lawyer's version that's false. Snyder can come back whenever he wants. And we still don't know. We still don't know whether or not he's back. The commissioner used the ultimate perjury safe harbor by saying, to the best of my knowledge, Dan Snyder has not resumed his day-to-day operations. Well, you know what? Goodell said back in March at a press conference at the conclusion of the league meetings, Snyder hasn't resumed his day-to-day operations. The Washington Times the next day said, oh, no, he has. He has indeed resumed his day-to-day operations. The NFL declined comment when I asked him about it at the time, and now Goodell's using that to the best of my knowledge in the event that Snyder really has. Wouldn't you want to know if you've punished this guy and you want this punishment to stick and there's a chance that he is blatantly violating the terms of the punishment, giving you the middle finger in the process, wouldn't you want to know whether or not he's truly back to his day-to-day job? And that, to the best of my knowledge, was put into Goodell's statement that he read at the beginning of his testimony, deliberately and specifically, I believe, to keep him from ever being accused of lying to Congress, because he doesn't know and he doesn't want to know whether or not Snyder is back in his day-to-day role.
So, Mike, you mentioned the John Gruden lawsuit going forward. I think that may be one of the more impactful things that maybe not everyone is talking about here. I think, potential deposition, once the league's desire for none of this stuff to go forward was dismissed by a judge, John Gruden's got a lot of sway right here in kind of what happens next to Snyder and company. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, you're absolutely right, but here's what's going to happen. A final order denying the league's effort to push John Gruden's case into its in-house, what I call secret rigged kangaroo court, because it is. It's in-house arbitration. The commissioner or his designee preside over it. The commissioner gets to decide whether or not the league's in trouble, whether or not a team's in trouble, whatever the case may be. It's ridiculous, and that's offensive to the average intelligence, to the average person. So once a final order is entered, then the clock ticks on the NFL's appeal rights to the higher courts in Nevada. There's a couple different levels there that it may have to work through. Then the NFL will try to appeal, undoubtedly, if it keeps losing, to the U.S. Supreme Court, even though very few cases that get submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court are even taken up. It slows the process down. It bogs it down. The NFL did that with the St. Louis relocation litigation. Threshold question, St. Louis should have to arbitrate. They fought and fought and fought. It took multiple years to resolve that. So you're right. If ultimately this case goes forward, Roger Goodell is going to have to testify. Dan Snyder, if he's still owning the team at the time, will have to testify. But that's years down the road before it gets to that point. Because I guarantee you the NFL is going to do everything it can to delay that day as long as possible by appealing the order that the case must go forward and can't go to arbitration for as many appeals as they can get away with.
Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio here on Grant and Danny in D.C. What's your feel on where we are on the quest for 24 of 32 owners to be done with Dan Snyder? And I would assume we're probably not close to 24. At this point, does that mean we can never get there, or does there have to be some type of smoking gun? Because that seems to be the only path here. Goodell made it pretty clear yesterday. It's not his job to remove him. He can't remove him. The other owners have to, and he doesn't seem willing to even have that conversation with owners to try to swing the pendulum in that direction.
He wasn't asked the right question. He was almost asked the right question. He was asked, will you remove Daniel Snyder? And his answer was, I don't have that power. But he does have the power to initiate the process. Under the NFL's constitution and bylaws, if the maximum permissible fine, in his estimation, isn't sufficient to rectify conduct by an owner, he can refer it to the NFL's executive committee for consideration as to whether or not the owner should be removed. And yes, at the end of the day, it takes 24. Here's the problem. A couple of problems. One, Snyder will be as litigious as anyone has ever been if you try to push him out. We already know how litigious he is. You try to push him out, he's not going voluntarily. He's going to hunker down. He's going to take every page out of the playbook of a former D.C. resident who aspires to come back at some point and not go and throw every obstacle he can in the path of anyone who's trying to make him go. Then on top of it, they have to worry about what he knows and what he can say, whether through information that could get leaked from the investigation, like the Gruden emails. And there are people who think that it was Snyder, not Goodell, that gave those emails to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal to really make it untenable for Gruden to continue as coach of the Raiders. Who else could be brought down by anything from the investigation? Who else could be brought down by anything else that Daniel Snyder may know based on 20 plus years of NFL ownership? See, that's the problem. It's not 31 choir boys plus Daniel Snyder. There are others out there, and I'm not going to say there are others who are exactly like Daniel Snyder, but there are others out there who have to worry about someone scratching, someone peeling layers on the onion. And that's part of, I think, the hesitation to move on Daniel Snyder. And I think they'd hope quietly and secretly that maybe, you know, the federal government takes care of it for him. He gets prosecuted for something. Isn't it funny that the financial irregularities did not come up at all yesterday? I think that tells you maybe they've decided that there really isn't anything there, or it would have come up with Goodell at some point if there was any reason to believe that someone like Snyder was shorting the money that should go to the NFL from the revenue that came through the cash registers at FedEx Field.
I hadn't thought of that point, Mike. You're 100% right. Unless maybe, and tell me this if this is stupid, they're leaving that because they've turned that over to various attorney generals and Department of Justice, right? Is there a chance maybe they didn't want to touch it there because their investigations are ongoing, or no?
I think it's possible, but at some point in that questioning yesterday, you'd think that one of the members of Congress would have sought a guarantee from Roger Goodell that if there was any truth to that allegation, that Snyder would definitely be removed. But again, it just shows you how difficult it is. That 5-minute clock starts ticking. It's very contentious. You've got somebody ready to tell you that your time's expired. You've got a witness who is very good at slipping through your fingers and chewing up time without it being obvious. I'm telling you, the guy is very, very skilled. And I thought he was going to encounter some issues. It's one thing to go to a press conference and get asked a question by one reporter, give a non-answer, and wait for a different reporter to ask you a different question about a different topic, and you never get faced with, sorry, you didn't answer my question. Even though he dealt with that yesterday, he knows how to kind of innocently and innocuously talk in circles long enough to just buy time. And it may have been that someone was going to ask about it, but nobody ever got to that question on their outline because they couldn't get past the first 3 or 4 topics because he was so damn good at chewing up time and keeping them from getting there.
Yeah, you got to give him a decent grade for what he wanted to accomplish yesterday for sure. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Check out his work on all his platforms. Does a really good job covering the NFL. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Mike.
You.
Thanks, guys.
Be well. Mike Florio here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Next, today at Audi Field, they had a big announcement where they made it clear that the MLS All-Star Game was going to be right here in D.C. next summer. That's exciting. So we wanted to celebrate. We're going to play a game. You think we don't talk enough about soccer? You're wrong. Danny.
We do the Sounders report after all, don't we?
We do the Sounders report. That's absolutely. Right. Is going to be grilled next.
Oh, man.
We've put together a list of names. Are they MLS All-Stars or are they male models? The game's going to be called MLS All-Stars or Male Models.
MLS All-Stars or Male Models.
We'll play next on G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.